Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to speak with you and spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Really glad you joined us today. We've got a very important program. I do want you to know that today's topic is not for young listening ears. We're talking today about human trafficking in the U.S. It's happening globally. We've covered that plenty of times on the show, but we're going to talk about domestically what's going on. This is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and I've got two mighty local heroes in studio to talk about this today. I want you to know we're going to give away several copies of my book, Embracing Your Freedom. And this book is several years old, but 50% of the royalties goes back into fighting human trafficking. And it's about your freedom because the enemy wants to hold you captive. And so there are people who are living free who are total captives, and it's about her freedom. In between each chapter, there's a story of somebody who's been a slave. And as you pray for your freedom, you're also going to pray for her freedom. It's a pretty meaty read. I always say it's like a boot camp for the soul because you're contending for your freedom, and then you're getting a more global perspective, understanding that there are millions and millions and millions of slaves today. More than in the days of the transatlantic slave trade, which is hard to believe, but it's true. So if you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Jenny Almquist and Stephanie Page are the two warriors that I'm talking about today. They work locally to address the issue of human trafficking domestically. They're here to tell you some stories, to share updated information, and to offer hope in the midst of the most base crime against humanity. We're going to get them on in just a moment. Quick announcement. We've partnered with One Child. You've been hearing about that. We're hoping and praying to get 1,700 children sponsored this month. Every child is precious to God. And when you sponsor a child, you pull them out of that space of being especially vulnerable. And there are all kinds of children listed on our website. Their pictures, their hobbies, their hopes, their dreams. You can prayerfully scroll through those pictures and ask God, is there one of these children that I should champion? You can find all that information on myfaithradio.com, but you'll especially hear a lot more about it on our programming tomorrow and the next day. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Jenny Almquist first learned about the horrors of human trafficking in 2008, which led to the birth of Fierce Freedom. As executive director, Jenny works to build the organization so that awareness and education about the issue can continue to spread. Her main goal is to educate and move people to action, to work toward the abolishment of human trafficking and exploitation. Amen, amen. She enjoys writing, reading, and public speaking. In her time away from the office, you'll find Jenny gardening, traveling, and spending time with her husband and children. Stephanie Page is a highly passionate motivational speaker with 15 plus years of experience. She's the executive director and co-founder of Stories Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization in Minneapolis, Minnesota that engages communities to fight human trafficking. She believes every story has value and that by embracing our story and sharing it with others, we're taking the necessary steps towards changing the stories of injustice in our communities. Steph and Stories Foundation have been featured on Care 11 and KS2P, as well as a variety of podcasts and newspaper articles. This is the one time, girls, I'll have you talk at the same time. Steph and Jenny, welcome to the program.
So happy to be here.
Thank you so much, Suzy.
See, they're such type A's that they're still going to talk in order and, you know, not talk over each other. How wonderful are you? Aww. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. You two are really like warrior women, and I'm so grateful to have you together on today's show. So we're going to just kind of go back and forth. So I'll ask you one, and then I'll ask you the next, you know, so we'll just kind of alternate these questions back and forth. But Stephanie, I'll start with you. What has the Lord been just impressing upon your heart these days as you walk with Him?
Yeah, I've been so overwhelmed lately by God's grace and how He and His love and how He chases after us. And this week I was in the book of Hosea, which just humbles me to think about how first Hosea's calling, that he was called by God to do such a hard thing in his life to reveal God's message. And then also Hosea's probably his, I would assume, his recognition of his need for God too, and his just how humbling that is. And I just resonate with, you know, being called by God, but also just being so humble before God and then just so overwhelmed by His grace and mercy and redemption and restoration and in his love. I just feel very overwhelmed in his presence lately.
Wow, that's beautiful. And Jenny, how about you?
So much going on in Jenny Almquist's life right now. So thankful for God's goodness. I feel like 2023 is a threshold for me. I see our team actually spends time with a spiritual director once a month, and we talk about thresholds. And I feel like this is one for me right now, just stepping into a new season of what God is doing, a new season of joy. I feel, like Stephanie said, overwhelmed with, I don't know, I feel like we've gone through some really difficult things. This last year was hard for Fierce Freedom, and I just feel like it's just such a season of joy, and that God is really, what he's been saying to me, because sometimes I really love to be authentic, and just, you know, what you see is what you get, and what God has been saying to my heart is really from Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And Jenny, I'm going to start with you this time. How did God lead you into this work? Where were you? What did you hear? How did God speak to you?
Sure. Well, it was way back in 2007 was the first time that I had heard about this. And I was visiting my sister in Australia. Her and her husband were working out of Sydney, Australia. And they were going to Hillsong Church at the time. And so I went to church with them. I actually got to visit three different times. And the second time that I went in 2008, we got to go to the women's conference, which is called Color. And Chris Kane was speaking, and Chris Kane from A21 Campaign, and I, at the time, had not yet heard about human trafficking. I didn't know that it was a thing. It totally took me off guard. I was so surprised that when I came back, I told my husband that I had to figure out some way to be a part of this and figure out how to help the world, you know, to do something, to do this, something that I could do. And so I did. I started a little business that at the time was called Fierce Beauty. And I collected beautiful, then it was scarves, and sold them and did little in-home shows. And I did that for about 3 years. And it was great because we just got to raise a lot of money and send funds to places like the A21 campaign and IJM and the Salvation Army and different groups that were doing the work. And then it was about 2010, and it was really clear that it was time to start a nonprofit and really focus on the educational piece of things. So that took a couple years to work out. And so we got our nonprofit status in 2012. And now we reach So Fierce Freedom, the organization that I direct, reaches, this last year, we reached over 1,100 people last year.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, thank you so much for that. And Stephanie, I read about how you were a missionary in Ukraine and did flood work, relief work in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And this was so interesting when you returned home. On one hand, you were kind of ready to settle into, quote, normal life. But on the other hand, you had this antsy feeling and were confronted even by how the American dream had sort of infiltrated the American church. And you said you were trying to live comfortably and serve Jesus at the same time, and it wasn't working. Such a powerful statement. Talk about how God disrupted those plans and started just grabbed hold of your heart.
Yeah, I was really feeling unsatisfied with where life was in that moment, and it wasn't going how I thought it was going to go, coming home from being a full-time missionary and was having babies and just in that season of life, but I was really restless inside. And I remember saying to God, you know, you're the provider. You said you would provide, so I surrender my way and my will and provide, like, you know, it's, please make good on your promise to provide for me. And then it was not even, I don't know, 3 or 4 days later that I was on a road trip with my mom and dad. We were going to a wedding of a family friend, and my mom got a free book on her Kindle. She was reading out loud, and it was about human trafficking. And I was in the backseat of that car, and I I said to the Lord, this is not okay. How can this be happening? I had no idea that we had slavery in this day and age. And God said to me, what are we going to do about that? And I was like, okay, what are we going to do? And it was just a moment in my life where I had been prepared because I was restless, and the issue grabbed my heart, and it changed my life. That moment changed my life. And so here we are. Yeah.
And the rest is history. As
here we
say.
Are. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to hear some true stories of people, local people. Maybe that's hard to hear and hard to know that trafficking happens in suburban neighborhoods. Hard to believe, but it's been going on for a long time. And again, this isn't meant to haunt you, but to awaken us, because we can all play a part. Maybe yours is to sow seeds into an organization that's doing something about it. Maybe yours is to become an intercessor or an advocate or a volunteer. Who knows? But we know that God cares very much about this, and human traffic victims are very much on God's heart. I'm Susie Larson, and we got a handful of copies of my older book, Embracing Your Freedom. And this is really about twofold. It's about your freedom and her freedom. So each chapter compels you to contend for the freedom, to look at the ways the enemy has stolen from you and get your land back. And then the second, in between each chapter, is a story of some girl who needs freedom and how we pray for her, and we're going to pray for you. Got just a few copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
Don't lose heart. Don't you dare let go.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. As I mentioned at the outset of the show, today's show is not for young listening ears. It's important that this month is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and we do cover human trafficking a couple times a year on the show because it's so important and it's not going away. It's the largest criminal enterprise in the world. And back when Kevin and I got involved over a decade ago, they told us it was the third largest criminal enterprise next to guns and weapons, but they said it was the fastest growing. So they said in a matter of years, it will be the largest, because once you sell guns or drugs, those are gone. But they found that you can keep re-abusing people for profit. It's just horrific. And I'm so grateful that God has brought awareness and raised up so many mighty warriors to say no. Not on our watch. And two of the gals that are in studio today fight it locally. And it may be hard for you to believe that it happens locally, but it does. Jenny Almquist and Stephanie Page are with me today. A quick reminder, I've got several copies of an older one of my books titled Embracing Your Freedom, and it's about your freedom and it's her freedom too. So you're reading about your contending for your freedom and getting your land back, and then praying and contending for hers as well. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So one of our listeners, I'm not going to say her name because she's a key listener. We love her. We've got a relationship with her, but I want to protect her identity. But she texted in, and I'll just toss this to either one of you or both of you. But she said, I'm so excited for this show. We think my niece is being trafficked. I've had her son for over a year, and she doesn't ask for him or stay in touch. Along with being trafficked, we believe she's an addict. We just don't know what to do. I would love to know how we can help her besides pray, and pray some more. And she sent a picture of this little boy that our listener cares for, and a picture of the niece, who's just beautiful and so heart-wrenching. Stephanie, Jenny, any thoughts?
Well, I can jump in right away. This is Jenny. Beautiful picture for sure. I would say, I mean, you said, you know, besides pray, but that's the thing that will keep you as a family member strong and centered and focused on the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you and the people who are praying with you and speaking to your heart. And that's everything. That's the first work for sure. I would also say that advice that we give all the time is to call the human trafficking hotline number with any details that you have, because sometimes your call with the details that you have will be the last piece that has to be put in place to make an arrest. A lot of times, Department of Justice, local police, FBI, they're watching, and we just don't know. But we have found this in our experience. And sometimes you'll just call, and it'll be the piece that helps them to make the arrest.
Yeah, and I would add too that if they have any contact with, if she has any contact with her niece, just continue to make sure she knows that she can come home and that there's a safe space and that there's no judgment, or that, you know, people stay enslaved and because of shame and because of lies and manipulation. And so as much as we can speak truth about worth and value and that you have a safe place to come home to and you, you know, all of those kinds of things, just keep speaking that over and over and over again, because you never know when she will choose to make that choice to leave. And she needs to know she has someplace she can go.
Wow. Here's another text from a listener. It's just amazing to me. When my granddaughter was 14, she was sex trafficked after she ran away and ended up one night after a man had used her and thrown her aside, trying to commit suicide. And she heard God's voice telling her to call the police, so she did. And they said after another few minutes, she probably would have made it. I ended up going to the hospital, of course, to the ER, and there was a lot of evidence, which was a great thing for the police. They did end up charging the two men, and both of them were charged with federal sex trafficking charges. She's now coping with PTSD. I ask you to pray for her, that this will become something of the past. It does not rule her today. I'm wondering if one of you would pray for this gal. I don't know if I should say her name, but does anybody want to pray for her?
Yeah, I can pray.
Thank you.
Dear Jesus, I just know that you are near to the brokenhearted, and I just know that you are powerful and you are healer, and it's a miracle. Your restoration is a miracle, and your redemption is a miracle. And so we just know that that we can find that in you. So I just pray right now for whatever this young lady needs. I just pray that you provide what she needs. So whether that's someone to walk alongside her in a deeper way, someone who understands, whatever, I just imagine that there's bondage in her too, from the lies that she, that the enemy just puts on us, Lord. So I just pray right now in Jesus' name that those lies will be broken and that the truth will flood into her mind and her heart and her soul in Jesus' name. I just pray that she can see how loved she is by you, and that she can walk in freedom, and that she can walk in freedom, total freedom, Lord. And that she can see the people around her who need to know you and need to know your freedom and your grace and your mercy. And I just pray again for your provision, Lord. We just surrender this to you. And I pray for wisdom for those who surround her and who love her. Give her your divine wisdom on how to love her best, in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. You know, I think it was Jenny, I think you're the one who told me this story. I'm almost positive you told me this story a few years ago of a gal that you worked with who, when she saw little patent leather Sunday school shoes, she had a visceral reaction. Do you remember that story?
Mm-hmm, I do. Actually, yeah. The woman, she speaks with us quite often. Her real actual name is Cheryl. And she's fine with that. She's working hard to be an advocate for those who were enslaved. So, her parents actually sold her into a life of slavery when she was 4 years old.
From the suburbs, let's just say it, right? Mm-hmm. Local, upper Midwest suburb.
Yeah. Upper Midwest. And this was in the early 70s. And so she's in her early 60s now. Wow. And her her parents, she said they could look out their window and see new homes going up in their suburb, and they wanted one of those new homes, and so they thought that they would sell their daughter into slavery so that they could afford to do that. Mm-hmm. So as far as they would dress her up, she would go to school, to her normal school during the week, and she would come home, and as soon as she did, got off the bus on Friday, they would dress her up in her little Sunday dress, is what she said her parents called it, and her black patent leather shoes and white little lacy socks. And two men in a big car would come and get her and take her away from the weekend. And they would sell her.
And how old is she?
She was 4 years old.
4. I didn't remember her being that young.
She was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. How evil. Oh, this is why it's so hard to talk about, but the fact that it's happening. I mean, I remember, like I said, back when we first got involved with IJM all those years ago, over a decade ago, I'd heard about a bust in a local suburb in Minneapolis here where there was they were holding women who couldn't speak English in the basement and bringing in businessmen, and nobody knew any different. But somehow, thank the Lord, the law enforcement got some kind of tip and busted this ring. Mm-hmm. I mean, how often is that happening underneath our noses in the burbs in the upper Midwest?
Often. as often as they can, as fast as they can collect the evidence to make the arrests. And so that's what law enforcement here, you know, in our cities and in our suburbs, that's what they're working on, is collecting the evidence so that they can make the cases, so that they can make those arrests here. But it's happening in hotels, in Airbnbs, and it's happening in the city, but it just as much is happening in the suburbs and in the country too, small towns.
And kids who are most at risk are what?
Well, we developed a whole curriculum off of worth, value, and dignity. Those who are really marginalized and they have no idea the worth that they have. So sometimes, depending on the setting that we step into, we can talk about, you know, God and that they were created for a purpose, with a call and a purpose on their life. Sometimes we will just, we'll go into a public school and we'll be able to just talk about their worth, that they were born, they're here on this earth. And if they are online, and if they are putting signs out there showing that they are lonely, that they don't have self-worth, that they don't feel value, the statistics are that they will be groomed quickly and that they will be sold into trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I've also heard, you know, roller skating rinks, malls, things like that. Yeah. And even, you know, kids from good homes, but they're not wise. They're naive. They're letting their guard down. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's that vulnerability piece. So I think we've all been vulnerable, and teenagers, young people are especially vulnerable because they're trying to figure out who they are. And so it's that desire for belonging, that desire to be loved, that desire to be known, that desire to be accepted. And traffickers are taught to see those who are especially desiring those things and then to come meet those needs with the purpose of turning that relationship into one of exploitation.
Wow. Okay, so when we come back, I'd love to know from both of you, what are some age-appropriate ways to prepare our kids? So speaking worth and identity in them, to me, is for sure number one. But number two is just, without putting fear in them, putting wisdom in them, saying this is really happening in these days. I mean, I've heard stories of kids going to a party, you know, from a good home, but they're at a high school party, and one of their high school, you know, students is getting money from a trafficker to, you know, to throw some drink, something in their drink or whatever. Just, I mean, it is so insidious right now. We don't want to live in fear and walk on eggshells, but there's got to be a way to raise our kids up to time and culture appropriate wisdom. So how do we do that? I'm going to have Stephanie and Jenny both speak to that. It's Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Again, tough, tough topic, but we've got to cover it because it's what's happening underneath our noses. And there's a role that we can all play, whether it's intercession, funding organizations that are fighting it, or advocating on your own. There's so much you can do, and we must do, because it's happening on our watch and we can't unknow it, right? More with Jenny Almquist and Stephanie Page in a moment.
I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always.
He's faithful, he's faithful. If we could know God for who he really is, our hearts would melt, our knees would buckle, and we'd raise our hands in praise. He loves us. He sees us. The scripture says he merely spoke and the heavens came to be. He binds up the brokenhearted. He heals up our wounds. He put the stars in place and calls them each by name. Isn't that amazing? He's majestic and he's meticulous in his involvement in your life. I'm Susie Larson, and it is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So this is a tough topic today, but I want you to stay tuned, and I want you to lean in and listen if you're able, because we all can play a part. You know, when I first learned about human trafficking about 15 years ago, I started praying, and I prayed almost every day. God put a firewall between the wicked and the weak, put a firewall between the wicked and the vulnerable. Psalm 75:10 says, I will cut off the strength of the wicked. I will increase the power of the godly. You can do that. Or maybe you can sow seeds into organizations that help fight this wretched, wretched crime, the most criminal base crime against humanity. God sees and he knows and he is rescuing. He is working. And we've got two heroes in the studio today, Jenny Almquist and Stephanie Page. Jenny Almquist founded Fierce Freedom. Stephanie founded Stories Foundation. And right now, first, let me just tell you, we're giving away a few copies of my book, Embracing Your Freedom. And scripture talks about how the enemy wants to hold us captive, but Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captive. So that book is sort of like a boot camp for the soul. It helps you contend for your own soul freedom. And then in between each chapter, you get a story of a girl who's been captive. And so you're praying for your freedom and you're praying for hers. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, comments, send those in a separate text. Okay, girls, I want to know from both of you, because I'm sure there are parents listening who are feeling a little panicky going, you know, I love my kids. I've raised them in the church. You mean they're vulnerable? Well, the most vulnerable are the ones who are neglected. But how can we, with age-appropriate wisdom, train our kids to be wise to the world we live in right now? Stephanie, we'll go to you first.
Yeah, I have kids. So this is a, you know, appropriate question that I think about all the time. How do we train our kids to be wise? I would say have open communication with your kids about the hard things. Do not avoid the topics of sex and abusive relationships and what's healthy and what's not healthy. I know it's uncomfortable for us as adults to have some of those conversations, but it is not as uncomfortable for our kids as it is for us. And we need to equip our kids and so that they know what is right and what is wrong, and so that they know that they can see it. They can see the unhealth in our culture, and so that they know that if someone does hurt them, that it's not okay and that they can come and talk to you. You want to have an open communication in your household, and you want those conversations to be normalized. And then the other thing I would say is that trafficking is rarely abduction. So trafficking is a relationship-driven crime. So you really want to have that relationship with your kids so that they're talking to you about the relationships that they're in, so that you can see when something isn't healthy and you can speak into that. Traffickers take time to build relationships with their victims. And so if they're taking time, we need to be taking time to be building relationships with the young people in our lives so that we can be the safe place and we can be the voice of wisdom and teach our kids and train them. So, you know, we can get scared that kids are going to be abducted, but they're less likely to be abducted. But it's worse when they are lured out from under your nose, right? So that open communication and making sure that you're normalizing those conversations.
And Jenny, before you go, that's such a great point. Even in the third world countries, it's often a family friend that's right. telling that even the dad or the mom or the daughter, there's a noodle factory in the next town, and you can earn money and send it back to your family. And so she goes, they happily send her, and then they threaten to torture her family if she doesn't comply. So it takes on a different form, but it's the same kind of manipulation, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's wow. blackmail, lies, coercion, lies. So if we can just be speaking truth and always cultivate that relationship, that's huge. It's huge.
Wow. Okay, Jenny, what about you?
Well, I would say yes to everything that Stephanie said, for sure. I think it's really important that at night that all of the devices go in one place at the same time, including moms and dads. Everybody's is out on the peninsula. And kids will always say, well, you know, it's my right. It's my phone. It's, you know, and that's a teenage discussion to have. I mean, I didn't have a cell phone. That was way back in the day, but it was still the same conversations. My brain was still developing in, you know, a teenage way. And these kids, it's where they're at in their development. And so if they can see that mom and dad are doing the same thing, that their brothers and sisters are doing the same thing, it's really important, because it seems like those really hard things happen in secret places. So, that's usually at night with the door closed and the lights down. So that is one of my biggest messages that I say. And we do... We have a free video on YouTube. It's called Dear Diary, and it's done by a young lady, and it just talks about the whole grooming piece on her phone in her bedroom, and it's very realistic to teenage kids today.
Wow, thank you for that. Well, you know, there's a stereotype out there that most of the people who do justice work, quote-unquote, care more about justice than they do Jesus. Yet this work originated in the heart of God. In fact, there are even Christians who've drifted from Jesus and have almost a self-righteous, I'm taking this on, which is so scary to me because it's a demonic stronghold of an industry, and it originated in God's heart. So maybe dispel that myth that not everybody who's doing justice work is all about justice minus Jesus. And Stephanie, we can start with you.
Yeah, I'm very passionate about this because I'm passionate about Jesus. I believe strongly that because Jesus died and rose again to right my relationship with God, I now live in righted relationship. He's my righteousness, that now I get to, filled with His Holy Spirit, He lives through me to go right wrongs in the world. There is no justice work for me apart from Jesus. It flows from Jesus out through me. And we're supposed to go, make disciples, and we're supposed to be God's ambassadors in the world and His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that we have His Spirit in us to go be His presence in the world and to be an example of what His kingdom in heaven will look like, a little taste of that here on earth. And He cares about the hurting and the broken, and we're all hurting and broken, and He's restoring all of us. And, you know, we've all been trafficked by Satan. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. He's the great trafficker. So, I think it's intertwined. And I don't know how people do justice work apart from Jesus. Jenny and I talk about this all the time. And often, you know, the motives aren't great when that happens. It can be a mis-motive, right? So, and
burnout.
You get
burnt out.
Yeah, and burnout.
Yes, just going to say, you burn out so fast. I don't know why, Jenny, but it reminds me of when the religious leaders were talking about what the power on the disciples' lives, and they were like, these people have to be stopped because they were jealous and they were threatened by the power that marked their lives. And it was Gamaliel that said, leave them alone. If this isn't of God, it'll fizzle. But if it's of God, you're going to be fighting God if you're going to try to stop it. Well, to me, that's the difference of trying to do this work because you're some self-appointed hero and saying, I'm entering into a suffering that's not my own because I've been mandated by God. If you fight against me, you're fighting against God Himself, in which case the call won't fizzle. It'll only grow in you. I'd love for you to comment on that.
Boy, that's for sure. I feel like Steph and I are on the same page with this. I don't know how you can do this work without Jesus. Talk about getting burnt out. And the only thing you can do is step into it, and you need to pray that God will work in and through you. And even if you're in places where you cannot speak His name, the Holy Spirit goes with you, and you pray that His light will shine in and through you. And the conversations always open up. They always do. God always leads the right person to you, and you'll get to speak to that. And then there's the piece of when you're in your own quiet space and how God will fill you up, and how you'll remember how you're taking it on your own shoulders and how you're carrying your own burden, and you can't do that, and how you have to surround yourself with like-minded people who will speak God's word into your life, and they'll speak His wisdom into your life. And I just don't know. It's hard enough with Jesus, if you hear what I'm saying. I mean, it's hard. But to not have Him and to not have a solid foundation of Jesus in your life, it would be very difficult.
And the only reason both of us are still doing this is because of Jesus. Right, Jenny?
Yes. Right. And also, it's one thing to see people, you know, young women, but now even boys and girls who've been trafficked, see them set free. But there's no hope for healing for them apart from Jesus. Yeah. Again, this originated in God's heart. Well, let's bring it local again. Do you have any other local stories that you want to tell us? And also just even maybe stories you've heard from teenagers who've maybe spoken up, that maybe they came to the edges of something, but God maybe protected them. And what can you share with us? Either one of you can go first.
Well, I'll start with over the last couple of years, we've developed a program called Worth It, and it came out of seeing that when we were in public spaces that young people just do not have an understanding of their worth and value, especially, you know, in Christ. And I was speaking at in a rural community in western Wisconsin, actually not too far from here, to be honest. And I was talking about the fact that we had heard that in school systems, that boyfriends were selling their girlfriends to their friends for the use of their car, or maybe for some weed or some alcohol. And I said, we know that this is happening. I've heard this from leaders in your school, and I want you to know that you don't have to do that. And this girl, it was such an interesting setting because we're all in the school library. They had separated the girls from the boys, but all of the peers were surrounding her. And it was like she was in a vacuum in time. And she looked at me and we caught eyes and she was just sobbing, you know, the silent sob where the warm tears just stream down your face. That's what she was doing. And she looked at me and it was as if there wasn't a peer of hers in the room. And she said, "You mean I don't have to do that?" And it was just shocking. It was that moment that it changed everything for me, the way that we do everything in Fierce Freedom. Everything now has a foundation of speaking worth, value, and dignity. So we were able to get her the help that she needs. We had a whole program where we are reaching hundreds of kids to speak this message. And when they say that they don't know that they don't have to do this, we're able to surround them with people who can really speak into their lives.
I mean, isn't just this human nature? I mean, you think about this is an entry form of trafficking, that a boyfriend would say, "Hey, you can have my girlfriend if I can have some of that." I mean, it goes to the base, you know, form of sinfulness, of greed, of pleasure, of dishonoring girls and women. I mean, to me, it shows such an epidemic of fatherlessness, of a lack of worth. I mean, there's so much work we can do to pour in worth and identity into every single person that God puts in our sphere, right?
Yeah. When people ask me what they can do, I'll say, would you just go to your church and would you teach Sunday school? Or would you go down to the Y or the Boys and Girls Club and would you just invest into kids' lives? When you see them, would you just put your hand on their shoulder and let them know that they matter? And people are a little bit offended because they think that probably what I'm going to say is, you know, come with us and go and kick down a door. Or, but it is we need to go upstream is really our call as an organization.
That's good.
And really start at the top, because if we can speak that worth and value, and their whole lives can change when they're freshmen in high school, or sixth graders or third graders, you know, that they wouldn't have to go through all of the PTSD, that they wouldn't have to go through being thrown in jail and having a record and all of the things. If we can invest and if we can stop it right there, all of the pain that would be saved, and speak Jesus to them.
Being a light in the darkness, I love that. We have to go upstream. And friends, I think that's a great place to start, that you can start, just ask God, put people in my sphere today and help me to speak worth and identity and value and God's love into their lives. Who knows, just by planting seeds, what weeds may get choked out, what enemy schemes may come to nothing. And I've been saying this for years on this show. If we all pray Psalm 75:10, Lord, you promised you'd cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly, what might happen? I mean, you think of some of the clips you see on the news of vulnerable people standing on the street corner and somebody who's lost and dark and wicked. I mean, a dark soul, if you know what I mean, where they just come up and clock them. That it's a lawless time, but we can do something about it because the light dispels the darkness, right? Truth is more powerful than the lie, and we all have work to do. This is why this is not a time to be passive, uninvolved, put our head in the sand. God's got work for all of us to do. I'm talking to two modern-day warrior heroes, Stephanie Page and Jenny Almquist, and it's Human Trafficking Awareness Month. When we come back, we're going to talk about what community members can get involved, how we can get involved. And she touched on that, but maybe there's more. Maybe if you've got questions, now's the time to ask them. Text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We've been talking about human trafficking. It's Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Again, I know not an easy topic, but I'm praying you'll stay engaged because God cares deeply about every person who's vulnerable at the hands of wickedness. And there's something that all of us can do. Talking to two wonderful heroes today, Jenny Almquist, she's the founder of Fierce Freedom, and Stephanie Page, founder of Stories Foundation. And they work to bring education and awareness and to help those who've been trafficked. They work together as well. And they work domestically, actually here in the upper Midwest. And it's maybe surprising to hear and to know that trafficking is happening under our noses, but there are things that we can do. And I know you said, Stephanie, before the break, that people maybe get, maybe Jenny, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one of you said it, but that when people ask you what you can do and you say teach Sunday school, they get a little offended. But you're saying speak worth, speak identity, speak life into children before they have a chance to forget who they are at a day and age when they may be most vulnerable. Any other things that you can give people to do who say, I've got to do something, what would you say?
Yeah, we always say that the first step of action to take is to become more aware. So become more aware of what human trafficking looks like locally, because we can't act unless we understand. And there's a lot of myths about human trafficking, especially domestic human trafficking. And so we really need to understand how vulnerabilities are being exploited and how manipulative relationships, we've kind of normalized manipulative exploitative relationships in our culture, and we need to reverse that. We need to normalize healthy relationships. And those of us who know Jesus, we should be at the forefront of that. So become aware. That's the first step.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Why don't you dispel some of the myths and then give us a clear description of what it actually looks like in suburbia?
Yeah. So that myth of abduction, it's not abduction. It's a relational crime. The myth that it's only happening, you know, in the city or in the really, maybe you might think of like a seedy, more seedy place, like more dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's not true. It's happening in really wealthy areas, you know, in vacation spots, things like that. We had the Super Bowl here in the Twin Cities a few years ago. And so there's an idea that when a Super Bowl comes, that there's a lot more trafficking, and there is an influx in trafficking. But here in the Midwest, there's just as much trafficking that happens at hunting and fishing opener than at the Super Bowl. So it's not just an occurrence with that big event. It's any kind of event, there's trafficking. And it's really because we have this exploitive culture where we, you know, we have some addictions to some sexual addictions, and we have some, you know, we're addicted to money, some greed. And so when we allow those things to fester in our culture, that's what creates this issue of human trafficking. So those of us who are aware and become aware, then we can start to use our voices. And that would be the second thing I would say, is become aware and then use your voice, spread awareness, have new conversations, normalize these conversations, because there's hurting people on the other side too. You know, we have sexual addiction, and there's hurting people there in bondage that's driving the demand for human trafficking locally.
Hmm. And Jenny, where, you know, these girls who are being trafficked at hunting and fishing, I mean, I heard there was a major project going on. I can't remember if they were doing something in the Midwest. Forgive me, I just can't remember, but there were a lot of work trailers and massive trafficking was happening there. Where are those girls coming from? Are those girls being shipped from overseas? Or are they just from another state, or could they even be local?
Well, I would say yes to all of it, actually.
Wow.
We know there was, you know, and I can't remember the details of it either. Steph, maybe you can help me here, but there were two trailers at a big food warehouse here. Might have been, anyway, the southern suburbs for sure. And they had, that was for labor trafficking. And I have to say that when there's labor trafficking, that there's also sex trafficking. Yeah. So they all overlap for sure. We know in one of the counties of our state that there was a veterinarian who had gone over to China and would bring girls back and sell them from his farm to as property to people on other farms, and they would go and live with them. So, and it's next door neighbors, it's teachers, it's cheerleaders, it's all of it.
Wow, Lord, forgive us. Jill wants to know, are there churches in the Upper Midwest investing in this ministry? She said when she lived in Omaha, her church heavily invested in the ministry. Her church was Christ Community. Churches investing in this ministry in the Upper Midwest?
There are some churches investing. There's always room for more churches to invest in this work. And investing could be learning, spreading information, and, you know, financial. But there's a lot of ways for a church community to invest in fighting against this issue.
Okay, this question, she says she works, maybe it's a he, they work at a suburban high school, not as a teacher. Are there any telltale signs as a child, if a child's being trafficked?
Yeah, so some immediate signs is if you have a child who is normally very outgoing, loud, energetic, and they become very quiet, introverted, so in an immediate change in how they normally present to the world. So it could go the other way too. If you have someone who's normally very quiet and then they become very loud and outgoing, that would be a sign that something isn't right. An influx of expensive, you know, jeans, purses, things like that. Maybe a change in appearance. They used to dress one way, now they're dressing another. Anything that is a drastic change in how they act and in how they look is going to be a huge red flag that something isn't right. Do you have anything else, Jenny, to add to that?
Well, I would say, you know, a lot of us, especially in the Upper Midwest, we like to be nice. So Minnesota nice, right? That we just wouldn't want to intrude on somebody's life. But what we say is it's always better to ask. You know, you can ask forgiveness. Just do the right. If you think that you need to call law enforcement, because if you're like me, I would be the last one to want my neighbor to be trafficked, and all along I felt that something was wrong in the pit of my stomach, and I never made the phone call.
Yeah, we say go with your gut. So sometimes we like to talk ourselves out of our gut feeling. If you sense something's wrong, something's probably wrong, and to ask more questions and then reach out to an organization like ours or to law enforcement to get the help that you need.
Okay, here's another question that's more personal for each of you. Jenny, I'll start with you. Especially doing this work, what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago?
So many things. I would say I knew in my head a lot of things. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian family, did all the things, and I knew that God was faithful. I knew that God was long-suffering, you know, in my mind. And I have to say that over the last 5 years or so, that just in time, I don't know if maybe people have read Richard Rohr's book, Falling Upward. I've recently read that book. And just the gift of time and the gift of experience and seeing God just come alongside and do the work that he's so good at doing, that he will open the door, that I don't have to lean in and press and work and demand. I can sit back and trust him and wait for him. And first of all, I am not getting burnt out. And the other thing is then that person is ready to step through the door. So,
Wow. Oh, wow. Thank you. And Stephanie, we're just about out of time, but what do you know about God now that you didn't know before?
He is deeply personal and deeply gracious, and his justice is for restoration. His heart is for restoration and for redemption. And I maybe knew that intellectually, but now I know it experientially, and it's overwhelming to me. And it is a miracle when he restores our lives, and especially those who have been so abused. It's an absolute miracle, and it's a privilege to get to see it happen.
Wow. Well, Jenny Almquist, Stephanie Page, thank you for what you're doing. Friends, we're going to put their organization links in our show notes today, Fierce Freedom and Stories Foundation. Girls, God bless you for what you're doing, and may God continue to crown your efforts with success. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you, girls. Thank you, too, for joining today. And thanks for hanging with us throughout the hour. Again, I know it's a tough topic, but it's an important one. So before you go to sleep tonight, pray God would rescue, protect the vulnerable, and he would foil the plans of the wicked, and he would establish the plans of his purposes on earth. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.